I want to thank everyone for being here. I know we're at the very end of the conference. I've been here since Friday, so I'm just about ready to be home. But I'm really looking forward to talking about this program. My portion of it is to discuss creating a community of practice. I have no disclosures. The project that I'm going to talk about was truly a collaborative effort. There were many, many people involved, and I have some people's names up here. This isn't everyone, but I started going through all of my emails trying to find all of the names of everyone that you know, these are the people that played a very significant role. We all had different roles. Bob Griss was responsible for contacting our speakers for our series of webinars on healthcare and civil rights. Daryl here kept us going, kept our meetings going, our teleconference meetings going. Sue Myers, of course, provided very extensive input, got the survey sent out, analyzed our data. Judith Bond created our survey. She's a MPH student. And provided the content for the blog. And my role was probably the easiest. I did technical support for people. I mean, I really had a very easy role in all of this. I also want to thank all of our speakers and moderators who assisted with this project. They're all listed up there. They were very, very generous with their time. So I'm going to go over how this came about, our survey, some next steps, webinar logistics, technical issues, and you see the unhappy face? That would be me. And some conclusions. So in 07, beginning of 07, there was a discussion amongst in CHPPD as to some of the criteria for developing some of these extracurricular activities, whether they're extra presentations or the webinars or listservs, or you know what, how they could get some discussion furthered. There was a small group, smallish group of members who were interested in starting this planning and policy dialogue series, and that was the broad name for it. Lots and lots of email was generated, and then a survey was created to see where member interests lie and what their preferences were for the delivery method. And I do have copies of just the next three slides in the back. So this is what members of CHPPD said what they preferred. And webinars ranked very high. So our scale goes from 1 to 5. Webinars ranked very high in terms of response. And then also podcast or video cast came in second. And then wiki, asynchronous discussion thread, and then the blog came in. And then people also indicated that they preferred, if we were going to do something, maybe sort of a monthly topic series. Seemed to be about the highest. Quarterly also, you know, it's very close. These were the, I added up the scores of the people who ranked these different topics either the most important or of most interest, plus important or interested. And our top three scores were public health trends, prevention, and civil rights and health disparities. So we decided to go with the healthcare and civil rights, partly as a result of a program that was done last year at APHA that was standing room only on this topic. And then as we were discussing this online, we came up with these three threads that would be the topics within this broad subject area. We opted to go with webinars, and that's where I provided the technical support. At the University of Texas and the Health Science Center in Houston, we do have Adobe Connect. Now, our license is for 80 seats. We could have 80 people logged on simultaneously. You could have a person logged on and then projecting into a room with, you know, 100 people, theoretically. But we could only have 80 seats running simultaneously. And then we also created a blog on Blogspot, which if you've never done it before, incredibly easy. It's very, very easy to create a blog. And we decided to go with the blog partly because at the time, a lot of the wikis are a little more complicated to run. The blogs, it was just such an easy technology to work with. The webinars were set up so that we could do both teleconferencing as well as voice over IP. And that's what we decided to do initially. And then each one of the speakers had a headset with a microphone so that they could do the voice over IP. We recorded every one of our sessions. And then we had questions that we added to the blog that would correspond afterwards with the presentation. And then we also had websites that were mentioned or things that would sort of supplement what was mentioned during each one of the webinars. Registrants were sent out an email. We sent out blasted emails letting people know within CHPPD that these were occurring. And as when we sent out the email information, we made sure that we included 4 time zones, because with the webinars, I mean, you could have anybody across the country, and I don't know how many of you have received an email saying that there's some sort of a webinar and they neglect to put the time zone on there. I just had one a couple of weeks ago and had to contact the company. And so we tried to put all 4 time zones on there with a link to the webinar, a link so that people could test their system, and then also they were told in the email that they had a choice of the teleconference or the voice over IP, which meant that they could listen on their speakers. The participants to ask questions could use chat, so they wouldn't be able to talk, but they had a choice of listening using either their speakers or dialing into the teleconference, which the March of Dimes has been very generous in allowing us to use their system. So the technical issues, we had a few difficulties connecting some of the speakers, and as the technical person, I did spend a lot of time on this. The very first recording the first session, trying to manage both voice over IP and teleconferencing was incredibly complicated, and it made it difficult to get a good, clean recording. And so I had to go back and ask all of the speakers to record their sessions again separately. And those were all, all the links were put on the website. And then, you get those general network fluctuations, as well as if you're ever doing this, you need to make sure that the speaker is real careful where they place their microphone. Because if they turn their head and their microphone doesn't turn, you get the voice fading in and out. So that was another one of those technical issues. But probably one of the most difficult was getting the speakers, our actual presenters, connected. And that's because I'm in Houston and our speakers were all over the country. So I had somebody from the West Coast and I had somebody from Arkansas, mm-hmm. and near the D.C. area in Pittsburgh. And so, I would have to sort of talk people through the process of getting set up with the webinar. So my conclusions on this, it was very exciting. We had wonderful topics, and I think that the group that we had, we were all so excited, and I think we're all still excited about this process. I mean, this is a whole lot of fun, but we had the technical person, which is me, and we had the people who were really interested in the content, and we had a good organizer, but we've kind of forgot about that marketing side, and then we kind of forgot about the disseminating side. I think there were two ends of it. And so we had like somewhere between 15 and 36 participants, or at least people logging in at one time. And it's hard to know how many participants simply because, like I said, you could have somebody log in and then they're actually sharing that session with, 5, 10, 15 people. And I know some of the sites did that. And then also our blog was never really used. Or if it was used, people weren't commenting on the questions that we had on the blog. And we'd really hoped that we could generate some discussion using the blog. I think that there needed to be more work done with the actual speakers, with the presenters. Some of them had never presented this way before, and if you've ever sat in a webinar, you know that you have sort of this voice coming over your speakers or your telephone headset, and they need to practice what they're going to talk about, and they need to make sure that they time it very well and that they're real clear about what they're talking about, maybe have a script and walk through it a couple of times. And then I'm the technical person. I probably could have used a little more time getting ready for some of these things, and I admit I had some of my own time constraints. I was in the process of completing my MPH. We ran these in May, June, and July, so I was in the process of completing my MPH, and then I had another project that I was working on, a funded project, so it was real difficult for me to always spend as much time as I probably needed with the technical side. However, having said that, this was I think that we need to do this again. I was pleased that we had as many people as we did, and I'd love to see this expand larger. I think that we need to have more of the webinars. It was a wonderful experience. The speakers were very thoughtful in their presentations, and we have so many good topics, and you saw our nice long list of topics from which to choose. So if you've got any questions, I have my name up here. I would certainly, like I said, this was a collaborative effort. You're more than welcome to contact me and feel free to visit the blog. I'm disseminating now. See what we have on the blog. You can still listen to any one of the webinars. They're all available. All the questions available. All the resources are available. So please join us online. Thank you.
I'm loading up.